With me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, our Old Testament reading, to the final chapter of 1 Kings, chapter 22. First Kings 22, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, made him horns of iron, and he said, Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians till thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king. With one mouth let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king. And the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, Go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the king said unto him, How many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, These have no master, let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, Did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, Hear now therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, Which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see in that day, when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, Take Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in prison, and feed him with the bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and enter into the battle, but put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. But the king of Syria commanded his 32 captains that had rule over his chariots, saying, fight neither with small nor great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, surely it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass, when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints and harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians, and died at even, and the blood ran out of the wound into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city, and every man to his own country. So the king died, and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. And they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, and the ivory house which he made, and all the cities that he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah his son reigned in his stead. And Jehoshaphat the son of Asa began to reign over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. And he walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Nevertheless, the high places were not taken away, for the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. And Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. Now the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat and his might that he showed and how he warred, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land. There was no king in Edom. A deputy was king. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber. Then said Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, unto Jehoshaphat, let my servants go with thy servants in the ships. But Jehoshaphat would not. And Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father, and Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. For he served Baal, and worshipped him, and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel, according to all that his father had done. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Here it is, time to start the sermon, and I'm still caught here with the exposition of chapter 22. I don't want to do it short shrift because it's a very difficult passage, so I'm going to give a little bit more time than I normally would. So when it says at the beginning of the chapter there were 3 years without war between Syria and Israel, we have to remember what happened in the last chapter, that Ahab and Ben-Hadad made a covenant with one another. They made a covenant. That covenant meant that they were not going to attack each other. They weren't going to do it. Well, you'll remember Ahab's appetite for land, Naboth's vineyard, right, of the last chapter. Well, now there's this other this area called Ramoth-Gilead, And the Syrians hold it, but it's actually land that God gave to Israel. So what Ahab does here is he says, you know, Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us, but the Syrians are there. Who's going to go with me up there to get that land? In other words, he's going to break the covenant that he made with the king of Syria. Now, beloved, the Lord does not take kindly to covenant breakers. Remember also that in the last chapter, Ahab heard at the conviction of Elijah the prophet that he was going to die and his family was going to be rubbed out, that he would have no progeny, that the dynasty of Omri was going to end with Ahab's daughter, basically. Right? And so Ahab has showed himself to be unrepentant. Although he went softly and was sad and humbled himself in the last chapter, this was not a humbling of himself to repentance. It was sorrow that he wasn't going to get what he wanted, which was land and a kingdom and an expansive one. So he's up to his old tricks here in chapter 22, and that's what we're supposed to see as we enter into the beginning of the chapter. He hasn't repented. He's simply sorry, like he was when he didn't get Naboth's vineyard. So Jehoshaphat goes to visit, perhaps let's see if we can reunite our kingdoms. Jehoshaphat, I believe, has good intentions, but he is credulous. He's gullible. He doesn't understand that Ahab is out for Ahab. Jehoshaphat may have good intentions, but toward the end of the chapter here, although it's not mentioned, the circumstance is that Jehu the prophet will come forth, and that's spoken of in 2 Chronicles. And we'll learn from Jehu the prophet that he was rebuked and he repented. And that's why he refuses at the end of this chapter to join league with Ahaziah in the navy. Okay, so Jehoshaphat seems very credulous, very gullible. He seems like a young man in an older man's world. And he says to Ahab, yes, we'll go up to battle. My forces will be your forces. Absolutely. You and I are brothers in this. Well, he's joined himself to an idolater is what he's done. Beloved, we cannot make league like that. We can't do that. All right, so then Ahab says, well, let's hear from the gods. That's really what he's saying. Let's hear from the gods, the Adonai. And so all of his 400 prophets come. Did you notice that 450 prophets died like three chapters ago, but there's 400 ready to go beyond them, prophets of Baal. And so they give their prophecy and they say, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper. The Lord is with you. And the Lord there is not Jehovah, Lord. It's the gods are with you. So Jehoshaphat, who, by the way, is reminded every day of the Lord Jehovah in his own name, Jehoshaphat means Jehovah shall judge. He says, is there not a prophet of Jehovah here? And you'll notice that in your Bibles because it's L-O-R-D in all caps. Is there not a prophet of Jehovah here? And Ahab says, yeah, there is. One guy. His name is Micaiah. But I hate him because he never tells me what I want to hear. He always tells me something adverse to what I want to hear. And so the chamberlain goes to get him, and he brings him back, and he says on the way back, now, please, please, Micaiah, say something good to Ahab. All of his prophets have said something good. You do the same. Of course, Micaiah is resolute, isn't he? He's a true prophet of Jehovah. And so what does he say? That which the Lord tells me, that's what I'll speak. And notice he buttresses that with an oath. As the Lord liveth, what he tells me, that will I speak. Well, this is a time of wait and moment. He's drawn before the king. He's going to put himself in danger. And so that oath is a good oath at that point. And so he comes in and Ahab says to him, shall we go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper? There's only two possibilities with Ahab's answer to Micaiah after Micaiah's answer to him. The first possibility is when Micaiah says, yes, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, that he said that with such an intonation that Ahab knew that he was insincere. Oh, yes, Ahab, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper. And saying it like that, Ahab recognizes that he's, in a sense, even mocking him. And he turns to Jehoshaphat and he says, didn't I tell you? He's always going to tell me what I don't want to hear. The other is that he said it in such a way that Ahab and his own guilty conscience affected him, and he understood that it was the Lord rebuking him in the mouth of Micaiah the prophet. There's only those two possibilities, and it's hard to decide between the two. But notice then we have this peeling back of the veil that Micaiah says that the forces of Israel are going to be like sheep without a shepherd. That is, you're going to die if you go up to Ramoth-Gilead, and your forces will be like sheep without a shepherd. They'll have no captain. And so then there's this peeling back of the veil, and Micaiah the prophet gives this scenario of why all of these 400 prophets are telling a lie. It's because the Lord sent a lying spirit in their mouths. Now, beloved, this is a hard passage, because the Lord is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity and canst not dwell with sin, Habakkuk tells us. Yet we also understand that whatever the Lord does is good and upright, because the Lord can do something like this and remain free from sin where we as creatures cannot. One theologian calls it that the Lord is here displaying his situation of being ex lex, above or outside the law. If any one of us did this, the Lord would rightly draw us into judgment for us, for it. But there is no one to convict the Lord, because he is the judge and everything he does is right by definition. Not like a king or an earthly judge, everything that he does is right by definition because of his position. No, but because of God's absolute holiness and absolute righteousness, everything he does is upright and holy. Righteousness don't exist out there for God, and it's a standard to which he must swing. Righteousness is who he is. It's the makeup of his person. And so he does this in complete uprightness, which is impossible for us to understand and impossible for us to imitate. And yet he does it. And what would we expect from God but to be different from us? It's only when we draw God down to be like us that we get in such trouble. So here is God behaving as God, and it has given a lot of people trouble, but that's because they desire a God that is more akin to themselves than who he is. And notice this, that while God did this and sent a lying spirit, that God in his uprightness also sent a prophet to tell Ahab, don't go die. He told Ahab what he had done, as well as telling him that he would die, that it's a lying spirit. And for my part, for my own understanding of this passage, I believe that Ahab knew that and refused it. I think his conscience has already struck him. He's already gone softly before the Lord. He's already been convicted of his sin, but he goes forward, because as a sinner that is ruled by Satan, he simply can't help himself. It's the choice that he makes over and over again. We are bond slaves to Satan when we come into this world. And unless the Lord rescues us out of that, there is nothing that we can do about it. We have not the power in ourselves. So then, Micaiah is buffeted for his telling the truth by Kenaana, the guy that was dancing around with horns on. Hey, we're going to push the Syrians. Hey, we're going to push the Syrians. And now what happens? Now he strikes Micaiah on the cheek. Which way went the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of Jehovah? Notice he takes the divine name into his own mouth in a blasphemous way. Which way went the spirit of Jehovah from me to you? And Micaiah tells him, you'll know when you're hiding in your inner chamber. And then he turns to the multitude there and all those 400 prophets, and he says, make sure you're listening, everybody. Make sure you're listening. Well, what a scene that is. What a spiritual contest. And how thankful we are to the Lord for men like Micaiah, who would stand strong in the face of great opposition and physical harm and speak the truth. So they go up to battle. Ahab, still his conscience bothering him, trying to protect himself, because secretly he believes the word of the Lord, though he will push it down and deny it. He tells Jehoshaphat, this is part of his credulity, his gullibility, you dress up in your robes and I'll just not. And Jehoshaphat says, Okay, great idea. Well, they think that Jehoshaphat is Ahab, and so what happens? They're going to kill him. He cries out, No, I'm not Ahab, I'm Jehoshaphat from the southern kingdom. I'm the king that has the name of the true God in my name. I'm Jehovah shall judge. That's who I am. And so it says that a man drew a bow at a venture. At a venture, let's make sure we get that a little bit more closely to the original. He drew his bow in his simplicity. That's how the Hebrew puts it. Not knowing where he was going to shoot. And so Ahab, for all of his machinations, and for all of his false prophets, and for all of his encouragements to do evil, a man draws a bow in his simplicity. He doesn't know where he's shooting, but the Lord sure does. And it strikes Ahab between his harness and his armor. And although he's able to stay himself up in the chariot for the rest of the day to, quote, rally the troops, it's a losing proposition, and he dies. He dies, as we read in the last chapter, the man who sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Oh, beloved, we must indeed take all of the examples of Scripture. Ahab is one of those negative examples. We must never turn away from the word of the Lord when it is so plainly staring at us. And so his people are scattered, his chariot is brought back, and again, the blood is washed out in Samaria, and the dogs lick it up, just like Elijah said, for his sinning against the Lord and his murder of Naboth and the seizing of his vineyard. So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. Oh, he had an earthly glory, this Ahab. He made an ivory house. He built cities. But he died an unbeliever, judged of the Lord, and his blood the dogs licked up. So then the chapter finishes out. We're doing some housekeeping, closing up the first book of the Kings. So we have some on the reign of Jehoshaphat. And the only thing that we see here that we want to mention is that he denied a second round with the northern kings. And he did so because he was rebuked by Jehu. And we'll read about that when we get to 2 Chronicles. And then we see also that Ahab's sons follow in his footsteps, and that kingdom is brought to an end very, very soon by that same Jehu, as we will see as we enter into 2 Kings and the first few chapters there. All right, thus ends the reading. Let's stand